What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is The Deep Corner, presented by the Volleyball League of America, episode 46. I'm Rob St. Clair, and as you can see, there's no special guest with me today. It's just me, a little bit of a special episode. Want to talk briefly about previewing next weekend's VLA Cup, which is going to be a massive event. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time just by myself breaking down the teams, a little bit about how the event works, but also to announce a new show that we have coming out on the VLA YouTube channel. We are going to be kicking off on Monday, this coming Monday, May, whatever that is, 10th? Yeah, 10th, I believe. Let's double check that. Yeah, this coming Monday, May 10th, a new live show on the VLA YouTube channel, Around the VLA. Around the VLA will be going live on Monday, hosted by myself and Vince Zanzuki, a regular guest of the show, the captain of the Phoenix Ascension, the VLA kind of director of digital operations. He does a lot of media with me for the league. So you probably know him by now if you've been listening to the show. But me and Vince every Monday are going to go live on YouTube with one, maybe two guests, talk about what's going on in the VLA, do a couple random little segments, look at some stats, look at some highlights. Going to be a lot of stuff that we want to tackle in that cool live show format and, of course, interact with the fans. So you can tune in on Mondays. This coming episode will go live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Monday the 10th. We're going to try to stick to that, but I can already tell you right now that right after VLA Cup, we won't go live on Monday. It might be Tuesday instead. So stay tuned for that. But this first episode, we're going to go in depth previewing VLA Cup. So I'll kind of tease it here during this episode of The Deep Corner. We'll introduce the teams, but we'll talk more about the tournament format and the schedule on Around the VLA on Monday. So make sure, if you're not already, subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'll make sure the link's in the description here on the audio podcasts if you listen. And then, yeah, tune in on Monday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with me and Vince and a special guest, kind of tackling what you can expect from VLA Cup, which is already coming up a week from today as this is released. This will be released on Friday the 7th. So the event's going to be absolutely massive, so big and so awesome, and with just so much volleyball. We're really excited about it, and we want to dedicate the first episode of Around the VLA to digging in deep into the event, and then the second episode will be reacting to the event after it's over. So that is going to be really cool. We're really excited about that. So what I want to talk about now about the VLA Cup is at least the teams that are going to be there, what their backgrounds are individually, what they've done this season so far, kind of who they are coming in, give you a little preview of each of their rosters so that on Monday on Around the VLA, we can dig into the format of the tournament and then the individual matchups that we're going to be seeing at least on day one. So what I can tell you right now is that this is a three-day tournament. Starts Friday, May 14th, next Friday. We're going to have pool play Friday, a lot of bracket play Saturday, and then Sunday will be just three matches. That's both semis and the finals. So if you want to know more about exactly the schedule and the format, stay tuned. Check out Around the VLA on Monday, and stay tuned to our Instagram. We'll be posting all this stuff there. But I want to talk about all the teams coming in. So there are 11 teams, 11 teams in one gym. This is at the Ball Sports Academy in Angola, Indiana, Loy Ball's gym in far northeastern Indiana. If you happen to be in that area or you're in the Midwest and you want to make the trip, we are allowing fans next weekend, which we're really excited about. But there are 11 phenomenal volleyball teams from all over the country converging on Loy's gym next weekend. We're starting to reveal the teams and the seeds slowly on Instagram. As we're recording this, we've released 11, 10, and 9. And I'll just give you the rest of them now. And if you'll just be expecting them as they come out on Instagram in the next couple of days. So let's start from seed number 11, which we've already introduced as the New York Pride. New York Pride is a team out of Long Island. Long Island, New York, that and New York City combined. So they'll have guys from both of those spots, and they're actually pulling from all over the place. I don't know very much about this team, and I'm really excited to get to know them. I do know that their captain, their kind of manager, is a guy named Terrence Crossan, who is a doctor of physical therapy out in that area, in touch with the volleyball scene. And as far as names you can expect, there are two very notable ones that, as of this recording, I actually can't say because they are still playing in the NCAA tournament. But they, I can promise you this, that they are very, very big names playing for the New York Pride. Can't say anything about that until Monday when they're done with their season because the championships are on Saturday. What we can tell you now, you've got Matt Kinnebrew, who's an opposite out of Grand Canyon, who actually played a little bit for Rising Tide a couple years ago. Anthony Rivera is a setter out of University of Charleston in the Conference Carolinas that you can expect to see dishing the rock a lot of the weekend. And then one of the bigger offensive threats on the pins is a guy named Brandon Greenway, an outside hitter opposite combo out of the University of Charleston also, who played in Denmark this past year and has had a very impressive, like, he has a very good, well-known resume on the East Coast, has played a lot of balls, can play both pins, like I said, and just had a very good season overseas in Denmark. So he's a guy you can expect to get a lot of touches. Another guy worth talking about, Evan LaRochelle, a libero out of University of Hawaii. Maybe we'll see him hit a little bit. The dude can definitely fly and bang some balls, but it's likely that he'll just be anchoring the New York Pride backcourt throughout the weekend, along with the captain, Terrence Crossan, another libero on the roster. So that's a big pickup for the New York Pride as well. Really excited about this team. They're seeded 11th, and the way we did the seeding was the five Tier 1 teams are the top five seeds, and then the Tier 2 teams 6 through 11, just in order of if they've happened to have played any VLA events so far, and then in the order which we received their registration, really. So there isn't that much to read into how these teams were seeded. This New York Pride team I expect to be very competitive, especially when we announce the pool that they're in, the matchups that they're going to get on day one, and then this team is definitely going to be able to do some damage in the bracket. So definitely look out for New York Pride and follow them. I think they're something like at @NewYorkPride_VLA, something similar to that on Instagram. They've popped up in the last couple months and been really active. So I'm super excited to get to know New York Pride, gets to talk to some of their guys. Maybe we can get one of them on the show next week before the event, or definitely we'll get some of them on afterwards. Okay, moving on. Seed number 10 is a very interesting one. And for the weekend, we're going to be calling them a combination of things. One is Legion Black. Another is Team LVC 2. So you already know Team LVC 1. They've played already twice this year. In Boston a couple weeks ago and in Indiana back in January. They finished second in the Kickoff Classic back in July of last year. But what you might not know is that Team LVC, and if you've been watching, you've probably noticed this, they have a tremendously deep pool of players to pick from. They have a lot of guys on the East Coast in upstate New York and otherwise that have played for Team LVC and that will randomly suit up for Team LVC at various local tournaments in the East Coast. So Legion Black, or Team LVC 2, in a normal year would be the team that goes to USAV Nationals and competes in the AA division, while the normal VLA edition of Team LVC that you're used to seeing will normally play in Open. So pretty much every year, Team LVC sends two teams to USAV Adult Nationals. And that event, while I believe it is still happening this year, is going to be much smaller, much less attendance. Neither Team LVC team is going, so this is kind of their substitute for that. They want to bring their second team, give them a chance to compete at the highest level like they do in normal years at USAVs. And so Legion Black, or Team LVC 2, which you'll see their logo, the number 2 is a flamingo, which is just awesome. You'll see them as the 10th seed in this tournament, and that's awesome. And just because they're like a second team or a B team of sorts, this team's no joke. They've got some names that have suited up for LVC, like first team, their normal team throughout the season and throughout the last several years. Mike Brewer is an outside out of Pfeiffer that I've seen play for LVC all the time. James Hosley, younger brother of Team LVC's captain Chris, the libero and kind of running LVC or Legion Black this weekend. Ryan Cardi, a middle out of Syracuse that you've seen play for LVC this year. Nestor Payne and Sam Aldis, a middle and an opposite respectively. Two guys out of Virginia Tech University that I played against in college, and I know firsthand how ridiculously good those two guys are and how much their games have leveled up since being like All-American caliber players in college club a few years ago. Nick Drucker, a setter out of King University in Conference Carolina, is the only setter on the roster that I'm seeing, so you can expect him to be throwing the rock around all weekend. Quentin Moore, a guy to look out for. Let's see, Garrett Dim, an outside out of Mount Olive. Christian Malias, an outside hitter out of George Mason. So I don't know that much about these guys. I'm just reading them off the roster, but I can tell you for sure that Legion Black or Team OVC2 will be no joke at the 10 seed. Just a huge addition to the depth and the quality of this tournament. So seed number nine, a team I actually know quite a bit about. This is the Chicago Swede. So Swede is a cool team. They're based out of both Chicagoland and the greater Wisconsin general Midwest sort of area. They are founded and run by a guy named Jordan Smith, who's their setter, their captain. He, after a year at Robert Morris in downtown Chicago, transferred to Lakeland University, which I think is in like Sheboygan or Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, kind of in the middle of nowhere, but they played, they were dominant in college club for a few years before transitioning to, I believe, NCAA Division III. And so Jordan and a few of his teammates, I'd say about half of this Swede roster is Lakeland guys, maybe a little less than half. But there's a lot of Division III representation here, and the thing that they have going for them is unbelievable chemistry and experience playing together. So you've seen the Chicago Icemen throughout the year. They went 3-1 in Boston. They won the Kickoff Classic last July. But the funny thing about the Icemen is they don't actually play together in local Chicago tournaments very much. Those guys will scatter and play for various other Chicago teams, and I, living in Chicago, have seen and played in those tournaments a lot. The Swede, though, is a mainstay, an absolute staple of any Chicago area tournament, any big, reasonable Midwest tournament. These guys travel. I've played with Swede several times. They have a huge cast of characters that have played for them before and that play with them very consistently. Their chemistry and team experience is going to be an unbelievable advantage of theirs in this whole tournament, particularly a connection you can look out for. Jordan Smith, the setter, like I mentioned, and one of their middle blockers, Tim Robbins, a guy out of Lakeland who is not big. He's 6'3 at most, but incredibly fast, incredibly agile, and Jordan will set Tim the ball quick in the middle from absolutely anywhere. Their offensive connection is just ridiculous to watch. I've been on the court with those guys and have had the best seat in the house to watch them do their thing. This team is really fun to watch. Austin Overby, an opposite out of Ball State, the younger brother of the Chicago Icemen's Kyle Overby. That will be a really fun matchup if those two guys play against each other at any point in this tournament. Yurem Demirovsky, another outside, this also out of Ball State, a big name that everybody kind of knows in Chicagoland. And then a handful of guys from North Central and Dominican universities, like very good Division III programs in Chicagoland. And then a little bit of size. They've picked up some bigger middles lately. Trenton Monk won, Boris Oliverich another. So Swede's going to be really fun to watch, a team that I know well, I've played with before. A big opportunity for them here to kind of show what they've got on this stage. Everybody sees them play in Chicago tournaments all the time, if you're from that area. But putting them against teams from all over the country and in this kind of format, playing best of fives and playing at this high of a level, is going to be really cool and a big opportunity for Swede. I'm excited that they're involved and very excited to watch them. So next, our number eight seed, SportCon X out of San Francisco and the Northern California Bay Area. This is a team that has existed for a long time. SportCon X and has kind of gone back and forth and has had some overlap with identities with the Academy United team that has existed out of Northern California forever. A little bit of a thin roster that they're bringing to Indiana, only 9 guys, but some big names. Starting off with Colin Hackworth, a 6'9" opposite out of Lindenwood in like suburban St. Louis, an old college teammate of some of the Chicago guys like Overby, Scott Sawicki, Chris Cox. Those guys know each other really well. Colin's been living in the Bay Area for a while, but had a phenomenal overseas professional career in Germany and elsewhere. And then some ridiculous size in the middle. You would expect a Northern California team like SportCon X to pick up some guys from Stanford, which, at least as we speak right now, the only Division I team in Northern California. of course, the news coming out that that program has been cut by their administration. We are hoping that that decision is able to be reversed. But listen to this lineup of three middle walkers. Denny Fall, 6'7" out of Stanford. Stephen Moy, 6'9" out of Stanford. And Kevin Rakestraw, 7 feet out of Stanford as well. They have an absolute three-headed monster of huge middle blockers with incredible experience playing at Stanford in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Ryan Bridge, their captain, setter out of UC San Diego, who I'm really excited to get to know better at the event. And then a name worth watching out for, Thomas Nelson, a smaller outside hitter, 6'3" at most. I actually played with him, funny enough, the summer of 2015. I spent the summer in the Bay Area, and Thomas Nelson was a 17-year-old club player. And I would go to practices with his Beta Bay Juniors team, and he was a stud libero back then, went to MIT, played Division III, and apparently played a lot of outside hitter. And he has been all over SportConnex's Instagram lately. The dude jumps even higher and has an even better arm than I remember, and will be one of the most like explosive and fun players to watch all weekend. So super stoked for SportConnex, like getting the Northern California region of volleyball back involved and involved with the VLA. I just love that. I'm really excited for that team. If you want to see kind of what they've got going on the court, they've played a couple scrimmages on the YouTube channel against Menlo College, a local NAIA team, I believe, that have produced some really good matches as they've been warming up for this tournament. So SportConnex, give them a follow and check them out, because they're going to be dangerous. For real. Their size just across the board can match up with absolutely anyone in this tournament. So next up, seed at number 7, the Boston Bounce. Boston, we met them in like emphatic fashion back in Buffalo about a month ago now, competing against Team LVC and Chicago, the Icemen. And Buffalo's one win on the weekend was against the Chicago Icemen, like the reigning champions, in an unbelievable match. And even though that was their only win on the board that weekend, they played some incredible volleyball. You got to know Jeff Vautrin on this very show a couple episodes ago, the Boston captain. I was so impressed with his game. First of all, the dude absolutely flies and bangs the ball at about 6'2" on the outside. But just like the way that he manages his team. Also got to know their coach, Bill Villa, who is a fascinating story and that Jeff told me about on the Deep Corner a few episodes ago. I really like the demeanor that he has on the sidelines and the way that he constructs his team. A guy that has seen and played the game at such a high level and really understands the mindset that it takes for these guys to come in a tournament like this and against this kind of competition and compete right away. And the biggest name, of course, to talk about, Jalen Penrose, number one. 6-footed opposite out of Penn State, phenomenal year, like for 4 years in a row now playing overseas in Germany, was all over the highlight reel and all over the matches in Buffalo a few weeks ago. Jalen, a big pickup, a suburban Boston native from Cambridge, was really fun to get to know him and just watch him play. One of the most just gifted physical specimens and like fine-tuned professional polished athletes you're going to see at this tournament. He was a blast to watch. And then in the middle, if you watch that Buffalo event, you saw how big this Boston Bounce team was in the middle. Like 6'10" dudes, 6'9" dudes. Like they have no shortage of incredible depth and size in the middle. And then I was really impressed by their setter, Colin Ritter, who I hope is going to make the trip to this tournament. Let's see, based on the roster I have, I'm not sure. Might not be finalized yet, but this team has been practicing a lot in the last several months. Like as soon as COVID restrictions allowed them to get in the gym together, they did, and they have been. A lot of good stuff coming from the Boston area, another community that we're really excited to be able to kind of reach with the VLA now. So I'm expecting really good things out of this Boston Bounce team, and wait till you see their pool. Oh man, I'm not going to give it away now. I got to turn into the show on Monday and on Instagram next week, but their pool is absolutely awesome. The two matchups that they're going to get in their pool are sick. So look forward to that. So seed number 6, the last of our tier 2 teams, and in my opinion, the most exciting one, no offense to any of the others, is Ruckus out of Southern California. Ruckus is a fascinating team. They played back in Phoenix for us in January, had a pretty good weekend, losing some really close matches to the Phoenix Ascension, and beating Team Irvine Extreme back in that event in Phoenix in February. But an interesting like overlap in players. So Southern California is the best region in the USA for volleyball. Everybody knows that. And the adult scene has, like, Ruckus and their captain, or not captain, but their kind of general manager, Christiana Mura, has built this team and has had her fingerprints all over the Southern California adult scene forever. And this Ruckus team is built legitimately to win this tournament straight up. I don't care that they're not, like, listed in tier one VLA teams right now. This team is a legitimate championship contender. And there are some names on this Ruckus team that you will recognize, not only from the Phoenix event that played for them, but also names that you're used to seeing on the Phoenix Ascension, and just guys that are unbelievable names from college. So my understanding, and I don't know this super well, to be honest with you all, is that there are a lot of the key Phoenix Ascension players have also played for Ruckus in Southern California local tournaments for a long time, and they'll play Ascension in VLA competition. They'll play random, like, adult tournaments with Ruckus, and this is the first time really ever that those two teams are going to be playing in the same tournament. So a couple of these guys have had to choose which of the two teams they're going to play for, even though they've been playing for both for a very long time. And so, for example, Joe Kawiakamoa, Mark Olson, Serge Nadasdin, and Taylor Harrington jump off the page to me right away. Guys that you're used to seeing play for Phoenix, three of the four of them local Phoenix guys, but are actually suiting up for Ruckus this tournament. So Kawiakamoa, who I had on the show, like, early on in one of the first 10 episodes, one of my very favorite players in the entire league to watch, really in the entire world to watch. I've talked about a lot on broadcasts how he was an internationally legitimate and elite setter. He set at BYU for an incredible team, set in A1 Italy for very good teams, but when he came back to the States, he decided he wanted to play outside hitter, and that's where you've mostly seen him on the Phoenix Ascension roster. But for this Ruckus team, Joe is the guy at the setter position. He will be the number one setter all weekend long, and might be the best setter in this tournament. I'm not kidding you guys. You've seen him play a lot of outside hitter, but I can't overstate how good of a setter this guy is. So just to go down some of the names of this team, man, Michael Wexter, opposite from Pepperdine, Caleb Denmark, outside hitter, Pepperdine, CJ Suarez, libero, Cal State Northridge, Kyle Grammett, outside hitter, George Mason, Max Chamberlain, middle blocker, Pepperdine, Garrett Como, libero, Hawaii, Serge Nadasdin, outside hitter, Long Beach, Kaveen Vaz, middle blocker, Cal Baptist and Pepperdine, Eric Ensing, the older brother of national team opposite Kyle, both pin player out of Long Beach. Also, this team is absolutely loaded. They've been all over the VLA YouTube lately. They've been playing some practices, some scrimmages. Go check them out just to get a feel for what you're going to get this weekend. I'm not kidding you. Ruckus seeded sixth. Again, that doesn't mean all that much, because this team is a championship contender. And again, when you see the pool that they're in, some of the matchups that they're going to get on day one are going to be absolutely electric. So there's a lot to look forward to there. Huge names. An organization run by Christy, who gets just a ton of credit for really being autonomous in the way their organization exists. They're such a, like, complete and well-organized group of guys in the way they're able to practice and travel and compete and just construct this roster. Very impressive and legitimately one of the favorites. So let's move on to Tier 1, the five Tier 1 teams that you can expect. And first and foremost, one that I'm just so excited about, the Southern California Rising Tide. Finally, the Rising Tide are breaking it in. They are getting involved in a VLA regular season event. They couldn't make it last year to the July event. They haven't played so far yet this regular season. A lot of COVID stuff going on in Southern California. But again, another Southern California team that is absolutely loaded. I don't even know where to start with this. Some of the guys that have been with Rising Tide forever, first of all, Daniel Davidson, not a player, but kind of the general manager and I'd say president of the team, member of the VLA board, another alumnus of this show, who is kind of the mastermind. Ryan Windisch is a guy who's been on the show before, the current head coach at Irvine Valley College, in like the JUCO scene in SoCal. Also a very good libero if he decides to suit it up. But I think he's going to be mostly coaching this weekend. Oh man, where to start? What a group of middle blockers that this team has. Jeez. Chris Johnson, 6'10", Cal Baptist, was in the national team gym for a very long time. Matt August, 6'9", UC Irvine, then Irvine Valley, has played the last two seasons in the Czech Republic, an absolute beast, and another alumni of the show. Marty Ross, went to Pacific before that program was cut, then UC Irvine, actually a Chicago native guy who's been in Southern California forever, 6'9", massive, just beast of an athlete. And then Jacob Schmiegelt, 6'7", middle out of Lewis, who is one of the starters on their national championship runner-up team in 2015. So that, like, those four middle blockers, I don't know how like Windisch and those guys are going to choose which two of them are going to play in a given match, but it goes past that. You've got Aaron Kobe, a French outside hitter from UC Irvine, Miles Magatutia, younger brother of national team outside hitter Garrett, who played at Stanford, Brandon Directo, a longtime rising tide guy who I absolutely love. He's listed at 6'0" on the roster. I don't know about that, but Brandon may be the springiest, like most fun to watch player in this entire tournament. The relation with his height and his vertical is absolutely off the charts. And he just does so many like crazy, wacky, creative things, offensively, defensively. One of my very favorite players I've ever watched. And then Lewis Richard, an extremely big name, won two national championships with Long Beach State in the last couple years, played in Denmark this past year, another one of their outside hitter options. Opposites, Raymond Barsimian is a big name, big dude, like 6'6" or 6'7" out of Concordia Irvine. On the opposite, that's a big pickup. And then Ryan Radira, a great libero, also out of Concordia Irvine. So this Rising Tide team, no joke, another legitimate contender right away. And boy, what a way it would be to like kick off their VLA existence in their first event under the league, even as one of the kind of founding teams in Tier 1. They haven't been able to play yet because of all the pandemic complications in SoCal. So we are so excited to get that team in the gym finally. They have a killer Instagram. I know Radira is behind a lot of that. Follow at Rising Tide VB. Championship contender, no joke. And some of the matches they're going to get in pools on day one and throughout the tournament, I would not be at all surprised to see this team make it to Sunday and make a legitimate run at this tournament. Really excited about the Rising Tide. So let's move on. Who's seed number four? Oh, Team Pineapple. Team Pineapple, how can you forget? How can you forget about Team Pineapple, the home team in this tournament at Lloyd Ball's gym, of course, in Northeast Indiana. The last time we saw them was all the way back in January. They took two out of three matches against Team LVC in Fort Wayne. Not a very good showing. At least they finished fourth in the tournament last July. But as we talked about throughout that event, before and after with Loy on the show and all sorts of things, Team Pineapple's in a turnover period in age. If you've been following like high-level adult volleyball in the States for the past 7, 8, even 10 years, Team Pineapple is like the New England Patriots. They're like the Golden State Warriors. They're like they had an absolute dynasty from probably 2013 to 2018 or 19, where any big tournament there was, if they showed up, they won. The team that Lloyd Ball was able to construct and the level of play that those guys at their ages at the time were able to achieve was absolutely unbelievable. And I'll never forget watching some of those Team Pineapple teams play in the PVL back when that was the division of USAV Nationals. Just the level of play, the highlights, the competitiveness that a guy like Loy with his Olympic gold medal experience brings to a team like that. The culture and the international brand that Team Pineapple has already created because of that run in throughout the 2010s decade is absolutely incredible. But again, they are turning over in age. Lois 48. I know he'll suit up a little bit in this tournament, but it's going to be Pasquale Fiducia, the main setter, and another guy that I just love to watch. Really like athletic, fast, and precise setter out of McKendree in the Miva that I just love to watch. He's going to have the kind of keys to the car throughout the weekend. You'll see Lloyd just a little bit, but this is kind of Pasquale's team now. And the same thing is happening in other positions. Like, you won't see Jeff Pitak. You will see Chris Gislin a little bit. You will see Bruno Amorim da Silva, an alumnus of the show, who was a baller back in January, but he's like approaching 40. Of course, the Brazilian legend who can play both pins. Like the old classic names that you've watched Team Pineapple play with for 10 years aren't quite going to be there anymore. But the younger guys are going to get more and more touches, and they're going to get more and more experienced. And they've also picked up a couple very important players for this tournament that I know Loy, hosting this tournament in his building, wants to win this desperately. Brendan Schmidt, 6'9", 10 or so, middle blocker out of McKendree, was in the top 10 middle blockers in the national team system recently. A very big name. Pellegrin Vargas is a huge name, a Puerto Rican outside hitter who was an absolute rock star at IPFW in the MIVA the last several years. Honorable mention All-American, first team All-MIVA, absolute beast. And then Luis Bertran, a libero also out of Puerto Rico, played at IPFW, who I don't think we've seen in VLA action just yet, but is one of the very best and like most difference-making liberos in this tournament. So that's amazing. Their middle blocker core, man. Connor Orion, who I love, is the shortest of them at like 6'5" or 6". Then you've got Kevin Owen, 6'9". Let's see, Matt Harpenhaus, 6'9". Brendan Schmidt, 6'10". Matt Walsh, 6'11". Like, come on. That is as good of a middle like group of four as anyone, even like Rising Tide or Ruckus, like we already talked about. You know, Tony Price will be there. Evan Gebert will be there, son of the legendary Lauren Gebert, Team Pineapple legend. Just finished his last year of eligibility at McKendree, so he'll be around. He played last summer. This Team Pineapple team is going to be so much fun to watch, and don't ever count them out. Just because Team Pineapple hasn't won a tournament in the last year or two doesn't mean they won't come out and win this thing, especially with this competitive and as unbelievably organized and driven to win this tournament as Loy Ball is, and that'll trickle down throughout his team. So Team Pineapple seeded four, and some of their matchups that they're going to get the first couple days are going to be just must-watch stuff. Okay, moving on. Only three teams left. Seed three, the Phoenix Ascension. So we already talked about them with their little overlap with Ruckus, just the player pool that they've had bounces back and forth between the two teams in different kind of formats of competition. This is the first time really ever that Ruckus and Ascension have played in the same tournament, and obviously those guys can't play for both teams. So we talked about Kauiakamoa, Olsen, Nadasdin, Harrington, CJ Suarez playing for Ruckus and not Ascension. But Ascension is no joke. Don't count them out just because they've lost really their two starting outside hitters. You still got setter Zach Melcher, an absolute monster, another alumnus of the show, setter out of Grand Canyon. You still got Connor Doherty, one of the most experienced and most fun to watch middles in the league. And there's a very good chance he plays more than just middle this weekend. He can play really all three front row positions. And then Brian Lewis, the left-handed opposite, who is just the absolute heart and soul of Ascension, in my opinion. Just a total baller. Guy's so good, out of the University of Arizona, one of the best players ever to come out of the collegiate club ranks. And then a couple other kind of late and new face pickups they're going to see from Phoenix. We'll talk to their captain, Vince, a little bit more as he co-hosts around the VLA with me on Monday. Also want to shout out their libero Jesus Itzaguirre out of Benedictine in Mesa, who's an absolute monster too. So this Ascension team seeded kind of high, losing some of their better players to play with Ruckus for this tournament, but not to be counted out. So they're going to be really fun to watch. Number two seed, Team LVC. Team LVC's A team, their most championship ready competitive roster, the team that you're used to seeing having played twice already this year. They played in Buffalo, went 2-2. They played in Indiana, went 1-2. Not the like performances that we expect from this team that we really do think will contend for championships a lot of the time. But they're coming in with a deep roster that's going to be really good. You've gotten to know Christian Smith pretty well over the last few tournaments. The setter out of SUNY New Paltz, former Division III Player of the Year. This is his team to set now. He's really taken that starting setter role by the horns and made it his. And really one of my very favorite setters to watch. Big, athletic, gets the ball to the pin so fast, makes phenomenally good choices, physical and block, and occasionally throwing the ball down on two. So love Christian's game. You got LVC veteran Joe Norton coming back out of George Mason. And in classic LVC fashion, just an unbelievable crew of middles. Amir Lugo Rodriguez out of Long Beach State, who you saw in the last tournament. Mike Marshman returning from St. Francis University from his incredible year, making it to the semifinals in the top league in France. Blake Leeson, we hope, is able to make it out of Ohio State. Lance Rogers, who you should know really well by now. Just a ridiculous crew of middles from this Team LVC. Again, I don't know who they're going to choose, which two of them they're going to choose in a given match. You can expect Jordan Verree, the opposite, a reliable, just explosive arm on the right side. Chris Hoosman can play a lot of positions. You saw him play really well at opposite in Buffalo. Dave Evans, and just an incredible player at either outside hitter or libero, wherever he chooses to suit up. And then a late pickup, and I hope that this is true based on what I'm seeing on the roster, a big libero pickup, and kind of a position that LVC has been missing for the last few years. Andrew Sotto, a libero out of Long Beach State, son of the legendary coach Gary Sotto, who worked with the national team for years, even was the head coach of the Japanese national team for a little while, will be a massive addition in the libero spot for Team LVC, especially because it enables Dave Evans then to play outside hitter, where I think he's very good despite his size. So that's a really big pickup for LVC, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm hoping to talk to their captain, Chris Hosley, either leading up to the tournament or afterwards. LVC is the 2 seed, an absolute championship contender for sure. And only one team left. And if you can do the math, you can do process of elimination and figure out that it is the defending champions from last summer, the Chicago Icemen, coming in as the top seed, looking to defend that title. They were really impressive in Buffalo, going 3-1, beating LVC twice. They played some absolutely ridiculously high-level volleyball. And all they've done since then is add bigger names and better players to the roster. Like, they showed up to Buffalo, I think, with only 9 guys, went 3-1, like, played the best volleyball I think we've seen of any team so far this year. And then they add some guys that just got back from overseas who had absolutely ridiculous years. Mike Mikolaou is a massive pickup, the first All-American in Conference Carolina's history that just had a phenomenal year over in Sweden. Griffin Shields, a 6'9" opposite out of Carthage, who played in A1 Germany a couple years ago. Will Kraft, an outside hitter who had a really good year in Lüneburg this year in Germany. Let's see, who else? Bob Walsh, a Mittelbacher out of Lewis, the older brother of Team Pineapples, Matt Walsh. And then a setter making his VLA debut that I'm so excited about, Sunil Thomas, from the Ohio State University, was the backup to Christy Blau on those championship teams before the team was his in his last couple years. He played in Sweden for at least a year, had a couple years overseas. Sunil at, I don't know, maybe 6'1". But maybe the best hands in this tournament from somebody not named Loy Ball. Incredible from the service line, really athletic and physical. And in addition to Tim Faulkner, who I know keeps telling me on the show and other places that he's trying to play a little bit less and less and starting to manage the team a little bit more, he, of course, can still get out and play with the best of them. But Faulkner and Thomas, that is an incredible 1-2 punch of setters. Along with some of the usual cast of characters. Kyle Overby, outside hitter out of Lindenwood for Chicago, played the absolute tournament of his life in Buffalo. Was by far the best player that entire weekend in the entire gym. And I've seen Kyle play a lot of volleyball, just being in Chicago playing tournaments the last 3, 4, 5 years. I've never seen the guy play better than he did in Buffalo about a month ago. He was absolutely unbelievable. Not just attacking, but serving, passing the ball, defending in position 6 and middle back, just so complete. And that outside hitter trio of Will Kraft, Mike Mikolaou, and Kyle Overby is absolutely insane. So there's your 11 teams. A pretty nice little breakdown of who at least you can expect to suit up for all of them. There will be more trickling in as the next week comes along, more that we can announce as the collegiate season ends on Saturday night. And again, tune into the show on Monday to learn what the pools are, what the kind of format of the tournament is, and who you can expect to play who and when. But before that, I want to wrap this up by kind of explaining how you can follow the tournament throughout the weekend. Again, it starts a week from today as you're listening to this, Friday, May 14th. 3 full days of action, literally all day long on both Friday and Saturday. Again, at Loy Ball's gym in Angola, Northeast Indiana. We're going to have 2 courts going. We've got 11 teams, 3 pools on 2 courts. And the thing about having 2 courts is there will be 2 matches going on at a time. of course, I can't commentate two matches at once. So I'm gonna be on one court for the entire day, Friday and Saturday. And the court that I'm on that I'm commentating will be live streamed for everybody publicly on YouTube, just like you're used to seeing throughout the season if you've been watching matches for a while. The second court will also be live streamed, but it will be live streamable only to our YouTube members. So in addition to subscribing in the channel, which is free and everybody should do, you can also pay, I think, what, $5 a month to get some special privileges within the YouTube channel. And one of those big things that we're trying to push is access to these court two matches live. So both courts will be streamed live, one of them for free with me, like just like you're used to seeing them. And the second court will also be streamed live, but if you want to watch those teams that are playing, you'll have to become a member on our channel. But don't worry, because the matches will also be recorded and uploaded after the fact, after the tournament, for everybody to watch. So every match from the tournament, I think there's what, like 24 of them, just a ridiculous number of volleyball matches, will all be available for everybody to watch, but only one court of the two on Friday and Saturday will be streamed live for the general public. The other one you can access if you want to pay to subscribe to be a member of the YouTube channel. And but then on Sunday, the only three matches on Sunday are the two semis and the finals. And for that, there will be only one court, only those matches going on in the gym at a time. We'll bring the courts to the center court in Lloyd's gym, and there will be a huge and noticeable uptick in the level of production of those matches. I won't give away any more than that, but there's a lot to look forward to with the added content that we'll be able to deliver within a live match setting. We've been working on that, me and Vince and so many others within the VLA, just working on that so hard to up our capability in production once we get to that one court setup. So for the two courts, when there's two courts going on at once, it'll be the exact same product that you're used to. You'll have the baseline camera, which is the best way to watch volleyball. You'll have my commentary by myself. And then if you want to pay to become a member of the YouTube channel, you'll have the second court with the same view and also commentated by a rotating cast of characters. But then on Sunday for the semis and the finals, we want to go absolutely all out for those matches, get as many viewers as we can, do it the best we can in production, and we know that the level of volleyball that day will be absolutely off the charts. So, I think that's it for now. Again, the pools will be released on Instagram next week, and if you want to get them live, react to them live, and ask us questions live, tune into Around the VLA. We're kicking off our new live show, Around the VLA, on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, hosted by myself and Vince Zanzuki and maybe one or two or several special guests. We're excited about that, so get subscribed to the YouTube channel and come join us live in the chat as we talk about the pools and the bracket and the format and kind of the matchups we can start to break down. That's going to be really cool. And then just follow along with everything we've got going on all through next week leading up to the tournament, and then starting bright and early Friday morning Eastern time on May 14th, there will just be constant live volleyball for you to follow all weekend long. We are so excited about this event, the VLA Cup. We have been working very hard on producing it to the maximum possible level. The teams will be there, 11 teams of absolutely stacked players, like we already talked about. The level will be incredible. The matches will be great. The production will be absolutely top-notch. A lot to look forward to. So catch us on Around the VLA on Monday, and catch us live Friday morning from Northeast Indiana for the 2021 VLA Cup. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.